In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Peter, James, and John, they just had an indescribable experience on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus at the center and Moses and Elijah. But when they descended from the mountain, there was a show of unbelief. It seems that this picture that our gospel portrays looks very similar to another mountain scene from the book of Exodus. When Moses and Joshua returned from Mount Sinai, there was a show of unbelief, the golden calf. Then the burning anger of God came upon the people of Israel with the devastating consequences. The wrath of God, which was manifested on that day, was far beyond human measure and calculations. Compared with the Lord's anger, the wrath of George Steinbrenner upon the members of New York Yankees looks like a mere trivial matter. But did we hear Jesus' anger and wrath in our reading? A closer look at our text would help us recognize that there is something different going on. Jesus shows his deep grief and disappointment rather than his anger. "O faithless generation," he says, "how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" Is Jesus directing these words to the crowd gathering around him, especially the father of that boy with the unclean spirit? Or does he express his sorrow over his disciples? Maybe both. We recall that the driving out of demons occupies an important place in Jesus' earthly ministry. According to Mark's gospel, the 12 were sent as the apostles not only to preach the gospel, but also to cast out demons, chapter 3, chapter 6. Therefore, there is no wonder Jesus was not pleased when his apostles failed to do what they were sent for. John Ilvesacker uses a rather strong language when he says, "Through their unbelief, the disciples had made Jesus a liar." The problem that Jesus saw was unbelief. What about us today? What if we also belong to that faithless generation? Imagine you have been called, ordained, and sent by Jesus with a specific task of the pastoral office to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. But your congregation is not growing as you wish or as it should, despite your most faithful and hardest labor. There might be some people who may begin to say that your ministry is not effective enough. Something has to change. With all the money spent and all the wisdom gathered, still our church is not growing in numbers. There must be something wrong. Let us find out where there may be barriers and obstacles to a healthy and growing congregation. Maybe we should try a new model of the ministry according to the latest innovations that guarantee a successful ministry. Maybe the problem is with our seminaries. Maybe the problem is with our districts. Maybe the problem is with our inability to build relationships. Maybe the problem is with our lack of contextualization skills. Like the disciples with the scribes in our text, we all have a temptation to argue among ourselves and even point fingers at each other so that with a sincere heart and a good intention, we attempt to improve our ministry without realizing that by it we actually depart from the mandate of Jesus on the office of the holy ministry. And worst of all, through our sacrificial efforts, we may end up making Jesus not only a liar, but also useless. O faithless generation, this was not the final words of Jesus, however. He also said, "Bring this boy to me. Then Jesus creates in that father faith in him. He drives the unclean spirit out of that boy. He takes him by the hand and lifts him up. It is all Jesus' show. The disciples were not able to do these things. Jesus did them all. The problem of unbelief in our text is now solved by Jesus. What about our situation today? Isn't the solution the same? We do not have to make things work. Let Jesus worry about that. After all, it is Jesus who speaks the words of forgiveness. It is he who baptizes and gives out his body and blood. A pastor is worth only what he is put there for, as the Lord's instrument to deliver the means of grace. By virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of Jesus. Jesus does it all because he is alive and because he is there in the office of the holy ministry as he has promised. One of the most memorable words of Dr. Marquardt was when he wrote a Christmas card to me while I was still in ministry in New Jersey. He wrote, "May the gospel and sacraments that you serve may ever sustain you." How true it is. I remember that by these words, my attention was brought from daily care and burden of the missionary activities back to the proper place where I find comfort and strength. Just like the boy with the unclean spirit in our text, our problem is also from our childhood. We need the same forgiveness of sins that we proclaim. We need deep comfort ourselves. We need Christ's body and blood. Therefore, our prayer is also this: Lord, help our unbelief. Rather than pointing fingers at each other, we all kneel together before the Lord, despairing of our reason and understanding, and coming before our Lord with empty-handed and broken-hearted, agreeing with his judgment on us and expecting from him all the good gifts that come to us. We still work our hardest, but not because our church is not growing as it should, but because the pastor is the Lord's man sent by him to deliver the forgiveness of sins. It is a privilege to proclaim the gospel with full confidence that he who went to Calvary for us all delivers the fruits of the cross for us also through the office that delivers the means of grace. And receiving the gifts from the Lord, we all live in that forgiveness joyfully, sharing the gospel in each one's callings. So as the morning prayer of the Small Catechism says, we go joyfully to our work singing a hymn. Amen.